بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. And if we think about the name of Allah, Allah is the identifying name or title of the majestic soul and true God. And this noun, which is the name Allah, applies to none other than Him. He, the most majestic and most high, has other names, all of which follow on from His name Allah. And the meaning of the name Allah is the ma'luh, which that which is worshipped out of love, magnification, deification, and longing. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi na'hmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and seek His help and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah Most High from the evils of our own selves and from our wicked deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides cannot be misguided, and whomever He leads astray cannot be guided. I testify that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and I bear witness, and I further testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be granted also to the Prophet's pure family and to all of his noble companions. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. For you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and die not except in the state of Islam. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord Allah, who created you from a single person, and that's Adam, and from him Adam he created, and from Adam he, Allah God, created his wife Eve, and from them both he created many men and women. And fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and do not cut the relations of the womb, the kinship, for surely Allah is ever an all-watcher over you. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear Him and speak always the truth. He will direct you to do righteous good deeds and will forgive you your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved a great success. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. To proceed, the most truthful speech is that of Allah's book, the Quran, and that the best of guidance is that of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and that the worst of evils are the muhdathat, the newly invented matters in religion, and every innovated matter in religion is an innovation, is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a dalala, is a misguidance, and every dalala is in the fire of hell. Many in the Muslim world have heard about the renowned scholar of Islam who had been given the title Shaykh al-Islam, and his name is Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah. His works are present mostly in Arabic, and they are extremely important because of his extensive and comprehensive understanding of Islam, extracting his evidences from the Quran and Sunnah as understood by As-Salaf al-Salih. As-Salaf al-Salih are the righteous Muslim predecessors from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their followers in righteousness, their successors in righteousness until the day of resurrection, and whose leader is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are united on the great creed of Tawheed, singling Allah out with sovereignty and control of affairs and creation, with all worship, and with whatever names and attributes he has affirmed for himself, or upon the tongue of his messenger, and as they befit his magnificence, and to disassociate from all forms of shirk, associating partners with Allah in worship, and to abandon all forms of innovations, corrupt creeds and methodologies. Their call gives advice to the Muslims and revives the Sunnah. They do not call for themselves, nor do they consider the path of the Salaf as a party. Those who oppose the da'wah of the Salaf al-Salih call them many names and try to drive the Muslims away from their call. May Allah grant them the perseverance, and success in establishing the true call for Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His birth, name and lineage. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, may Allah's mercy be upon him, the renowned scholar of Islam, is Ahmad ibn Abdul Halim ibn Abdul Salam ibn Abdullah Abu al-Abbas Taqiyuddin ibn Taymiyyah al-Harrani. He was born on Monday, the 10th or the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal in the year 661 after the Hijrah, after the migration of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, corresponding to 1263 of the Christian era, in Harran. And he grew up in Damascus. Harran is in Syria. And he grew up in Damascus. His family was renowned in scholarship and in rank. His grandfather is Majduddin Abdus Salam ibn Abdullah ibn Taymiyyah, who died in the year 652, corresponding to 1254. He is an imam in many Islamic disciplines. And his father, Al-Shihab Abdul Halim ibn Abdus Salam, excelled in fatawa, in religious verdicts and other disciplines. He was the khatib, the one who gave the khutbah, the speeches in Jumu'ah and in Eid and etc. And he was the ruler of Harran. His mother is Sittu al-Na'im, bint Abdul Rahman ibn Ali ibn Abdus al-Harrani. She lived for more than 70 years and died in 716, corresponding to 1316. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah had three brothers, Muhammad, who died 717, corresponding to 1317. He was a scholar and faqih, a scholar in fiqh and jurisprudence. And then Abdul Rahman, who died in 747, corresponding to 1346. He was a devout worshipper who volunteered himself to be imprisoned with Shaykh al-Islam in Damascus and Alexandria in order to serve his brother. And Abdullah, who died in 727, corresponding to 1327, a non-scholar who defended the beliefs of the Salaf against its opponents from the mystic Sufis and the later Ash'arites. And these were deviant sects. I will give some hints about their creeds and their deviation later, but we'll go ahead now. Seeking knowledge. Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, grew up under the care of his father. He studied with his father and was recognized for his strong memory and fast comprehension. He marveled time and spent his life engaged in learning, teaching, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, in jihad for the cause of Allah, writing, da'wah, propagating the deen, standing against all forms of innovation, and perseverance in all of this. He, rahimahullah, mastered various disciplines of Islamic studies at an early age, and he was authorized to issue fatawa, religious decrees, at age 19. At age 19. his sources of knowledge. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah memorized the Quran, learned the Arabic, hadith, and tafsir, explanation or interpretation of the Quran before he reached 20 years of age. He studied the Quranic sciences, he studied the Quranic scientists. Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned the Quran, learned the Arabic, hadith, and tafsir before he reached 20 years of age. He studied the Quranic sciences, the Sunnah, the six books of hadith, Musnad Ahmad, Sunan Ad-Darqutni, Mu'jam Al-Tabarani, the science of hadith, fiqh, and its usul, its fundamentals, its basics, the various deviant sects, lexicology, writing, arithmetic, history, medicine, geometry, and other disciplines. He excelled in his learning to the extent he, rahimahullah, excelled in his learning to the extent that you would think that he is a specialty on each of the disciplines he studied. The number of the scholars he studied with exceeded 200. May Allah's mercy be upon all of them. The fruits of his vast knowledge. Number one, well-researched and comprehensive scholarly views, which are based on al-dalil al-sahih, the authentic textual proofs, and free from inflexible blind imitation. Secondly, a strong defense of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thirdly, a firmly stand of jihad with the pen and by the tongue against innovations introduced by philosophers, scholastic theologians, botany, esoteric and mystic cults, including many of the mystic Sufi orders, the Rafida, the rejectionists of the Shia, etc., who on numerous occasions plotted for his imprisonment in Damascus and in Cairo. Even in prison, he continued to call for As-Salaf al-Salih's way of understanding of Islam, so much that his opponents were driven to deprive him from writing material. He said, commenting on his imprisonment, quote, What could my foes do to me? My paradise is in my heart, and my garden is in my chest. It does not leave me wherever I go. My imprisonment is khalwa, is a retreat. Killing me is a shahada, and deporting me from my country is a siyaha, meaning traveling to explore Allah's creation. He strongly defended the names and attributes of Allah and all aspects of belief. When he confirmed and affirmed the attributes of Allah as affirmed in the Quran and or the authentic Sunnah and without any alterations in their meaning, the innovators from the people of scholastic theology plotted against him and he was sentenced to jail. Now when they led him to his cell in Al-Qal'a prison in Damascus and closed the door, he smiled and recited the following verse from the Qur'an. فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٍ بَاطِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةِ وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبَلِهِ الْعَذَابِ. He recited from Surah Al-Hadid, chapter 57, verse 13. So a wall will be put up between them with a gate therein. Inside it will be mercy, and outside it will be torment. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. He once said, quote, the truly jailed one is the person who withheld his heart from his Rabb, from Allah, and the confined one is the person who confined himself to his desire. End of quote. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah physically defended the Muslims in Asham, in Greater Syria, against invasions by the Tartars, the Tatar. He died in 728 of Hijrah, which is 1328 of the Christian era, while in jail in Damascus. His great student ابن القيم, his great student ابن القيم الجوزية, who was with him in the same cell, said he was reciting the Quran, and when he finished reciting the ayah, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ فِي مَقْعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ, verily the muttaqeen, the pious and righteous persons who fear Allah much and love Him much, will be in the midst of gardens and rivers, meaning paradise, in a seat of truth, that is paradise, near the omnipotent King Allah, the All Blessed, the Most High, the owner of majesty and honor. He died while reciting this verse. This was the last verse he recited, rahimahullah, which is from Surah Al-Qamar, chapter 54, verses 54 and 55. He had many students and companions. 25 of them were prominent scholars, including the greatest scholars of Islam, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyya, Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir, the great scholar of Hadith and Mufassir, Imam al-Zahabi, Allahu Akbar, the Imam of Hadith, Al-Muhaddith al-Barzani, Imam Ibn al-Hadi, Ibn Abd al-Hadi, Al-Hafidh al-Mizzi, Ibn Muflih, Ibrahim al-Zar'i, برهان الدين الدمشقي, ابن شيخ الحزامين, ابن أحمد ابن إبراهيم الواسطي, الشيخة, the scholar, أم زينب, فاطمة بنت عباس بن محمد البغدادية, amongst others. إمام ابن تيمية highly praised her and her great علم, knowledge, and her manners, as well as her knowledge and understanding. She used to attend his learning classes and raise good questions. She later had her own classes in Damascus and in Egypt. Many women memorized the Quran under her supervision. She stood firm against the people of innovation, and many people benefited from her knowledge. She, rahimahullah, died in 1714 in Egypt, rahimahullah ta'ala. Ibn Taymiyyah received knowledge from more than 200 scholars in all disciplines of Islamic study. He excelled in fatwa when he was less than 19 years old. It didn't take him too long before he began to write. His writings reached 500 volumes. His funeral took place in Damascus. Ibn Kathir, Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir, wrote describing his funeral by saying, quote, "People closed their shops and all came except the weak. Those who couldn't attend resorted to dua, invoking Allah's mercy upon him. An estimated 15,000 women attended his funeral. Others were on the roofs of their buildings, all asking Allah's mercy upon him. All cried. Men attending the funeral were between 60,000 and 100,000. Other estimates reached 200,000. The funeral prayers were conducted at the Bani Umayyad Mosque in Damascus, and many saw good dreams about him. May Allah's mercy be upon him." Ending the words of Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was very knowledgeable about the doctrines of other religions and philosophies. He wrote many treatises about different religions and mystic sects, defending the oneness of Allah and proving that the true essence of religion revolves around the fact that Allah deserves to be worshipped alone, because Allah is one and He is not contradictory. One of Ibn Taymiyyah's famous writings was in response to Christians claiming that the Quran, Islam, and Prophet Muhammad are only limited to the Arabs, meaning the message of Islam, and that Islam condones and respects the Christian beliefs about Jesus alayhi salam, including Trinity, etc. His response came in a book that was entitled الجواب الصحيح لمن بدل دين المسيح, the correct response to those who altered the religion of Isa, of Jesus عليه السلام. The book was first published by دار الكتب المصرية, literally the Egyptian House of Books. Recently, however, a group of reviewers, Dr. Ali bin Hassan bin Nasser, Dr. Abdul Aziz bin Ibrahim al-Askar, and Dr. Hamad bin Mahmoud al-Hamdan, found and amended 4 manuscripts, 2 of them in Istanbul, dated 861 and 1094 after Hijrah, respectively. The third was one found in the library of the University of Leiden in Holland, and dates to 730 after Hijrah, corresponding to 1313. And the fourth one was found in Cairo, dating to 1281. After full emendation of all variable copies, printed and in manuscript form, the book was published in 6 volumes in Arabic by Dar al-Asima in Riyadh in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia in 1414 of Hijrah. And in an attempt to provide the Muslim and non-Muslim readers and listeners with the issues discussed by Ibn Taymiyyah and his response, and they are so profound, I took the task of summarizing the discussions of the major issues in the book, depending upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and asking his support to present it in the way, inshallah, that would be beneficial for myself in this life and in the hereafter, and for all of you, inshallah ta'ala, and for those who will put hand on it or listen to it. Now, first of all, what is the reason, therefore, behind writing the response? What is the reason behind writing the response? Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, stated that his response was addressing a letter that came from Cyprus and which contained so-called evidences cited by a Christian scholar supporting his religion. He said, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, quote, it was therefore incumbent to present a decisive response that distinguishes the truth from falsehood, making of it a benefit for men of understanding and a clarification of the revelation and mizan, scale of justice, which Allah have brought forth with his messengers. End of quote. The author of the letter and the main points of the letter. The author of the letter and the main points of the letter. The author of the Christian letter, his name is Paul, and he is the Bishop of Sidon. He is the Bishop of Sidon, and Sidon is a city on the Lebanese coast, 25 miles, around 40 kilometers south of Beirut, south of the capital Beirut. So the author of the Christian letter is Paul, the Bishop of Sidon. In fact, this the church where this bishop was is still in the same city. And the bishop was born in Antioch, where he became a priest during the 12th century. In the latter part of his life, he was appointed as the Bishop of Sidon. He belonged to the Malakiyya Anglican Church. He belonged to the Anglican Church. The Christians, those Malakian or Anglican, they are Christians who submitted to the decisions of the Chalcedonian Church, the fourth and the last of the councils of the individual church, which adopted the belief in the dual nature of Jesus alayhi salam as God and man, and condemned metempsychoticism, which emphasizes the one nature, the divine, in the person of Christ. The monophysite doctrine was propounded by Eutychius, a Byzantine monk, who who died approximately 454 of the Christian era. What really mounts here is that the main points in the bishop letters are, number one, and this is which we have to remember really, because the six volumes will go around this these points. The main points in the bishop letters are, number one, Prophet Muhammad's message was limited to the Arabs, and that the Quran testifies for that. This is the first point. The second point, the Quran itself praised Jesus, alayhi salam, his mother, and the disciples, thus representing a supportive evidence for the authenticity of Christianity, and as a result, Christians don't have to follow Islam. Thirdly, Allah's justice justifies the concept that Christians don't have to follow a prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who, in their opinion, was not sent to them. So they said this contradicts Allah's justice. Fourthly, the concept of Trinity, which means the union in one Godhead of three co-persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The concepts of Trinity, transmigration of the souls, and the unification of the Holy Spirit with the human body in the form of Jesus alayhi salam, does not, according to the bishop, contradict the creed of Tawheed, oneness of Allah in Islam. A copy containing some parts of the letter is in a manuscript, number 95/1254, in the library of the Coptic Museum in the Church of Mary Gergis in Cairo. And in this letter, in his letter, the bishop mentioned that he traveled to many regions of the Byzantine Empire, and that he met and held discussions about religion with many scholars there. The fifth point, the books of Revelation to prophets before Jesus substantiate the Christian's creed of Trinity, the persons and the unification, etc. So this was his last point. The books of Revelation to prophets before Jesus substantiate the Christian's creed of Trinity, the persons and the unification. So, inshallah ta'ala then, in this introduction, we have covered two main things. And I will go to some of the things, inshallah, that we need to clarify that came across the biography of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and they need clarification. But we will limit ourselves, inshallah, tonight to the fact that we have covered Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's biography. And secondly, the reason for writing this book, that it was in response to a letter by a Christian bishop, the Bishop of Sidon, and in it the main points that were raised by this bishop, and most of these points, if not all, are raised by many of the Christians today. So alhamdulillah, it is the response, as we will hear inshallah in the coming nights, how the response of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah will refute these things, and in that will be great knowledge, inshallah ta'ala, to attain from his response. So we go back now, inshallah ta'ala, and since I mentioned some sects which they need to be clarified, because a lot will be said about them during the course of Ibn Taymiyyah's response, because there are so many common things between these sects and Christianities in the concept of deviation. So it's important to shed some light about them. We mentioned in the biography Sufism. Historically, the practice of Sufism started in Basra, in Iraq, by the time when the majority of the successors of the Tabi'in, the successors of the successors of the companions, passed away. Many of the so-called Sufis used to wear woolen suf clothing as a sign of disassociation from the worldly life. Early on, the followers of this practice were mostly interested in leading a pious life of zuhd, which is an abstemious way of life, patience, clemency, sincerity, truthfulness, etc. Overall, they were close to the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah then, although some of them exaggerated and or introduced innovative forms of worship and concepts. The first to establish a so-called house for Sufiya was a man by the name of Abd al-Wahid bin Zayd. Now, at later times, however, Sufism was more influenced by scholastic theology, علم الكلام, which began to creep into the Ummah following the translations of many of the philosophical concepts of the Hindus, Greeks, Romans, and Persians. Consequently, they deviated from the way of the Salaf. Their practices developed into organized forms of hunger, poverty, self-strive, seclusion, sleeplessness, wandering, hand-clapping, dancing, going to the markets in strange ways, abandoning the interest in hadith, in knowledge, and other extremes. Sufism further developed into school of mystic orders with corrupt creeds and methodologies. Today, mystic Sufis attempt to mislead the Muslims, especially in the West, by presenting themselves as, quote, mainstream or traditional Islam, end of quote, or, quote, lovers of humanity, end of quote, and call for a deceptive and innovative form of unity, which they refer to as unity with diversity. Their concept of unity means that the Muslim should, quote, understand and tolerate, end of quote, the different philosophies amongst Muslims, misleadingly claiming that the basic foundations of the creed, of the aqidah, are agreed upon by all Muslims, but there is diversity in the branches of religion. This is the claim. According to these mystics, those who expose the corrupt philosophies of mysticism, of Shi'ism, scholastic theology, and so forth, work against so-called unity of the Ummah, and that they are the extremists. SubhanAllah. Many founders of these mystic orders are trying to revive the teachings of the mystic infamous Ibn Arabi, who died in the year 638 of Hijrah, 1214, and who said in his Fusus, in his book Al-Fusus, he said, quote, "Be careful not to restrict yourself to a particular or distinct creed, and deny everything else, otherwise you would miss a great deal of good. Rather, you would miss knowing the matter as it is. So, be within yourself a hayoli, a substance, a hayoli, a substance for what? For all forms of creeds. For Allah is greater than being limited by one creed and excluding another." End of quote. So according to Ibn Arabi, everyone is right in his own creed. Link this concept to the following statement made by a leading mystic of the Naqshbandi order by the name of Hisham Qabbani. When asked about the, quote, greatest da'iya caller he has known, he flashed a broad smile and excitement shone in his eyes and said, "The greatest da'iya caller we are now seeing in the entire world is Mawlana Sheikh Nazim Adil Al-Haqqani, to whom the people are running in droves from every corner of the US, from as far as Australia. They are running to Sheikh Nazim because his heart is so open to all people. It is like an ocean." End of quote. When asked what he meant by an ocean, he answered, quote, "An ocean of Allah's love for all humankind, his creation." This is published in Qabbani's Muslim magazine, Mountain View, California, Shawwal 1419, January 1999, Volume 2, Number 1, page 57. Does Allah love the unbelievers and the hypocrites from the mankind? Allah is far removed above what these mystics ascribe to Him. This statement exposes the reality of the mystic belief in the oneness of Allah, because the Naqshbandi order, as many other Sufi orders, is founded upon the concept of Wahdat al-Wujud, unity of existence, which they engage their followers in studying under advanced so-called esoteric topics of mystic Sufis, end of quote, which are to a great extent based upon the Greek, the Hindu philosophies. The mystic so-called Sheikh Nazim is the one who teaches, quote, esoteric kalam and tasawwuf, end of quote, to, quote, advanced students, end of quote, in London. This is the same reference, page 66. May Allah the Most High guide those who were deceived by the mystic's path to the truth. The Ash'arites, the second sect which we will come across many times in the response of Ibn Taymiyyah. The Ash'arite doctrine was established by Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, who died 324, corresponding to 936, and who was originally a Mu'tazilite. This Mu'tazilite school is the so-called school of reasoning. They take the reason above the text, and they take it a judge above the text. They give it high value. So originally he was from the Mu'tazilite. He then denounced the Mu'tazilite ideology and adopted the belief of As-Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors, exemplified by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. Many of his followers remained on his previous beliefs. This is really strange. Many of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari followers remained on his previous beliefs and refer to themselves nowadays as the Ash'arites, and claim to represent the beliefs of the Salaf or Ahl al-Sunnah in a deceiving way. Although they differ with the Mu'tazilites on some issues, they heavily depend upon scholastic theology, and their doctrine is very close to that of the Mu'tazilites. They affirm some of the attributes of Allah, but contrary to the way of the Salaf, resort to figurative interpretations of the attributes and or to so-called tafweel, consigning the meaning of the attributes to Allah. Their doctrine is widespread in many parts of the Muslim world, especially in universities and learning institutes worldwide. Even some of the outstanding scholars of Islam were influenced by the Ash'arite figurative interpretation of some of the attributes, like, for example, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah, and Imam al-Nawawi, and others. On the other hand, scholars who were strong advocates of the Ash'arite and scholastic methodologies gave up their principles before their death and regretted wasting most of their lives establishing something wrong. Amongst them is Abu al-Ma'ali al-Juwayni, who died 478, and al-Razi and al-Ghazali and others. In their cases, there is a lesson for those willing to contemplate. With the spread of the way, the da'wah for the way of As-Salaf al-Salih, the distortions of the contemporary followers of the Ash'arites, the Maturidites, the Mu'tazilites, the Jahmites, and all these sects and other deviant sects are being exposed, alhamdulillah, and refuted. All praise be to Allah. And Muslims more and more are becoming aware of the truth, walhamdulillah ta'ala. Spoke also, Shaykh al-Islam will mention many times the Rafida, the rejectionists, the Shi'ites. The Rafidats are the extreme Shia, known as al-Imamiyya, the Imamite, al-Ithna Ashariyya, the Twelvers, or the 12 Imam Shiites, or Ja'faris. The linguistic meaning of the word Shia is followers, A'wan, aids, Qawm, people, and Ashab. History. In the beginning, the term Shia signified the fact that some people, including some of the companions, gave preference to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala an, who died in the year 40, corresponding to 661, giving preference over Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu concerning the leadership, the Khilafah. They were known as Shi'at Ali, the aides or friends or followers of Ali. Once the choice, however, settled on Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the Sahaba who gave preference to Ali, known as Shi'at Ali, accepted the choice and did not raise objections or form opposition parties as claimed by the Orientalists. Contrary to the claims of the latter sect of Shi'ism, none of the Sahaba, including Ali, may Allah be pleased with them all, preferred Ali over Abu Bakr or Umar. There was nothing called Shi'at Abu Bakr or Shi'at Umar. In fact, it has been narrated through multiple contiguous channels of transmission that Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, خير هذه الأمة بعد نبيها أبو بكر وعمر. هذا متواتر عن علي رضي الله عنه كما ذكر ذلك شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله في كتابه النبوات صفحة 223. He said, علي رضي الله تعالى عنه, the best of this ummah after its prophet is Abu Bakr and Umar. Supported by Shaykh al-Islam in Taymiyyah and in his book An-Nubuwat Prophethood. In fact, Abdullah bin Umar stated that, quote, we used to say while Allah's messenger was amongst us, listen to this, we used to say, while Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was amongst us, the best of people after the messenger of Allah is Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would hear of that and not criticize us. See Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 5, number 7, in Fada'il al-Sahaba. So, in the beginning, the term Shia did not exceed the meaning of aides, friends, or followers, and did not mean the dogma of Shi'ism as a sect which is split into various esoteric and mystic sects like the Ismailites, which materialized later, and the Nuzairites, which exist nowadays, etc. This is clearly evident in the text which was used in the arbitration between Ali and Muawiyah, may Allah be pleased with both of them, which took place following the Battle of Siffin during the fitna that occurred between the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with all of them, in the year 37, corresponding to 657. It stated that, quote, Ali and his Shia accepted Abdullah bin Qais as their arbitrator, and Muawiyah and his Shia accepted Amr bin al-As as their arbitrator, and that if one of the two arbitrators die, then the head of the Shia whom this arbitrator represents chooses someone to replace him. So the word Shia was then used in the context of aid or followers, not more than that, not as it exists now. But with the advent of Abdullah bin Saba, who encouraged the Jew by the name of Abdullah bin Saba, who encouraged the split of the Ummah in the direction of giving Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu divine attributes, the serious deviation of Shi'ism began. And as it stands now, Shi'ism differ with Islam in terms of the Quran and in terms of the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in terms of the Sahaba. They don't consider from the Sahaba to the believers except the three and to the best seven at most, but the rest to them they rejected Islam and served into kufr wal-ayadu billah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from their plots and from their save the Muslims from their creeds. And many, many more things that the Shia differ with Islam, and they glorify and magnify the a'imma, the so-called a'imma, to levels that are divine, and they call upon them, and they have strange practices which many of you do. But this is not really the, we're not going to cover everything, but these are the basics. They differ with Islam in terms of the Quran. They believe in another Quran, that is the Sahifa of Ali or the Sahifa of Fatima, and they accuse Jibreel alayhi salam of being a traitor. All of these things are documented in their books, and we are not really saying anything from our own. So alhamdulillah ta'ala, this covers the introduction for this subject, and I gave these explanations regarding some of these sects because they will come heavily in the course of the book, The Response to Those Who Altered the Religion of Jesus, by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala.